Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs, chapter 11. We'll read verses 26 through 30 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 26 through 30. Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 26 through 30. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. And let's finish on verse 30 together. Ready? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for a place to come to where we can come as people that are saved. And though we are saved, we're sinners. And where the lost can come and find you as Savior. Lord, please use our preacher today. Pretty sad world out there. A pretty lost and dying world and discouraged. We have the joy. We have the message that could change it all. Lord, use our preacher to help us to go out and reach as many of those people as we can, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This summer, my wife and I took our grandchildren fishing one day. Oh, what an episode it was. I'm going to preach a sermon, and it may be a little more teaching than preaching, but a combination of the two. I'm going to talk to us today about how to fail at fishing. I'm pretty good at what I'm about to teach on. How to fail at fishing. If you have been around the right kind of a church for long, you would know that the Bible compares fishing to reaching men. Our fall program is about fishing for men. I'm going to teach us a little something about how not to get the job done. When my wife and I took the grandchildren fishing, I think they were learning, and I was trying to teach them, and everything they seemed to do wasn't helping much. When we arrived, we got the fishing poles out, and the first thing that they wanted to do was eat the snacks. And I said, well, we came to fish, but really they were not real interested in fishing at first. They wanted to eat the snacks. Well, I was told a long time ago, if you're going to catch fish, you got to get your pole into water. And there are all sorts of you under the sound of my voice. You've never caught a fish, speaking of helping someone to get saved, but it's because you've never put your pole in the water. You can't catch something unless you're actually fishing. Now, there were people along the bank watching us fish, but they weren't catching anything because all they were doing was watching somebody else fish. Some of you come to church and watch us fish. You're sitting on the bank and you watch us fish. But I'd like for you to be able to catch some fish. You're not going to catch fish unless you get your pole in the water. Then I'll tell you this. You got to be careful. About the time I got my granddaughter, got her fishing pole, got the bobber on it. And when she would go to cast, the bobber had hit the water so hard it'd start a tidal wave. You know, she'd throw that thing out there instead of that nice smooth release, so it just kind of plopped into the water. She'd throw it out there and it'd go boom. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, we're not trying to knock the fish out. And there's some of y'all, you're going to have to learn a little bit about fishing. There's a right and a wrong way of doing it. Every time I would turn around, we'd get that night crawler on there. And I would look at someone's hook, and the hook was showing. And fish are smart enough to know, you know, I don't mind eating that worm, but I don't want to eat that hook right there. Then for a little while, I watched one of them fish and fish and fish and fish and fish. And I was asked the question, why is my barber not going up and down? And I pulled it up, and there was no bait on the hook. And I said, well, there, you don't have any bait on there. And then there's the issue, you can fish too shallow, and then you can fish too deep. And there's so many things that would keep one from catching fish. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When it comes to this thing of helping and reaching people, there are some things that you can help yourself in reaching people, fishing for men, and there's some things that will not help you in reaching people. Our fall program is all about winning souls. It's all about fishing for men. Just so you understand, all Christians are to become fishermen. All Christians are to be winning souls. See, it's not just something for the preacher to do. It's not just something for the church staff to do. It's not just something that the deacons and their wives would go out and do. And we all are. Indeed, the preachers to win souls, and the church staff and those that work at the church are to win souls. And deacons and their wives are to be involved in and attempting to win people to Christ. It's not just something that the church leadership is to do. Winning souls and telling people about Christ and bringing them to the Savior, it's for everyone. Every born again Christian. Folks, if there is a hell, and there is, then this thing of soul winning is a pretty big responsibility. It's a pretty important thing in the Christian life. Hey, if there is a heaven, and there is, then helping someone not to go to hell so that they might go to heaven, it's a big deal. You know, I really don't know that there's anything that you and I as humans could do that could be more important to another. I mean, look, if I bought you a sandwich and you were hungry, I would be doing you a favor. If I bought you a pair of shoes because you didn't have a pair, I would be doing you a favor. But did you know that me buying you a sandwich or me buying you a pair of shoes will not keep you out of hell? But if I told you about Jesus Christ and you received Him as Savior, I may be doing you the biggest human favor that I could do for you. Hey, and I am every bit for buying someone a sandwich and feeding the hungry. And I am every bit for putting shoes on feet and a coat on somebody's back and putting $5 worth of gas in their car. I'm for that. And I think we ought to do that. But folks, we don't want to bypass the greatest thing that you and I could do. That's telling someone how to be born again so they can go to heaven someday when they die. You know, we have a missions program here at our church, you know, and our missionaries go on the field and they'll try to help feed the hungry and clothe the naked and doctor the sick. But let me tell you something, there's no greater doctoring that a missionary could do on a foreign field than doctoring up the sin-cursed soul of a lost man, helping him to get born again so he can go to heaven someday when he dies. That's that basis. That's what missions is all about. Here we have the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It is a New Testament church. There are a lot of things that our church will do, but the great commission of the church is getting people saved and then having them to get baptized and then helping them to grow in the Lord to the point where they become a part of the church's workforce. You say, workforce for what? Now, I have to tell y'all something. We have a big crew of men that help with our grounds here, and thank God for them, and a big crew of folks that help with the custodial duties here at our church, and thank God for them, and we've got a big group of people that help with maintenance here at the church, and thank God for them, and a bunch of people that help to sing at our church and thank God for them. But folks, none of that's more important than telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Oh no. Oh no. Getting people out of hell, it's a big deal. Soul winning will change the life of that lost soul. They'll get saved. They're no longer going to hell. But I'll tell you this, if you become a soul winner, it'll change your life too. Yes. It gives you a totally new perspective on things. It causes you to see life differently. There's something about when you get interested in other people and you get interested in the souls of men. Hey, did you know that the purpose of Jesus Christ, His purpose, was winning the lost to Christ? The Bible says in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I am so glad that Jesus came and He was able to feed the hungry. Remember, He took a few loaves and a few fish and he fed a bunch of hungry people, but it was all a drawing card so He could get a bunch of people saved. I'm glad there was somebody that was blind and Jesus came along and helped them to gather their physical sight. But wait a minute, it was really about them being able to see spiritually so they could get born again. There were those that were lame and He healed them. But what was it really all about? Jesus came and he did a lot of things and he helped a lot of people. But his ultimate purpose for coming, his ultimate purpose for being born of a virgin, his ultimate purpose for 33 and a half sinless years of life, his ultimate purpose of being crucified, his ultimate purpose of coming up out of that grave was to keep somebody out of hell. And if that be the case, you and I as Christians, if that's such a big deal according to the Bible, I guess you and I ought to make it a big deal to us. Jesus made the statement. He said to a man, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." If you and I follow Jesus right, we will become fishers of men. Those who know how to win people to Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. You know, there are people in this room, there are people in that balcony right there. You know how to win someone to Jesus Christ. You in this choir, those of you that know, you know how to win someone to Christ. Those of you on this lower floor, you know, there's some of you, you know exactly how to win someone to Christ. When was the last time you did it? Somebody here today, you need to say, "Preacher, I don't know how to do it, but I'd be glad to if somebody would teach me and train me and help me." Then we will. There are others who would have to say, "I do know how to do it." And this word, this statement's going to be a little rough on you, but you're backslidden. You're away from God because you know your responsibility and you've been doing nothing about it. And to those that don't know, you've got to learn. Those that do know how, we've got to stay after the souls of men. I took my grandchildren fishing and it seemed like everything that they did didn't help us. The way they did it and how it worked out, I was able to teach them some things that would make a difference so they could catch fish. And I'll tell you one thing that I did. My wife, and she doesn't mind going fishing. She just didn't want to touch the fish. She didn't want to touch the worms. She's more than glad to go along, though. Moral support. And she was watching me run from fishing pole to fishing pole and trying to fix everything and get everything just right. And she looked over and she wondered how frustrated I was. And I looked to the two grandchildren and I said, "Papaw's promising you, we're not going home till both of you catch a fish." We got one. And I was thinking, praise God. Hey, going fishing or hunting, well, it'll hone your prayer life.
Yes, sir.
Boy, that second one was coming hard. I was trying everything in the book. And finally I said, "Give me that pole." I thought, "I'm going to beat him on top of the head. I'm going to get you a fish one way or another." Thank God we got that second fish and we got to go home. Next time I'm taking him to McDonald's and we're going to have fish fillet down there. Folks, I want to help you. I'm going to say some things to you. Some of you say, "I don't know anything about telling someone else how to go to heaven." Listen, I may not teach you everything you need to know, but I'm going to tell you some things that won't work. Those of you that do know how to tell others, let me tell you some things that will keep you from being a success about this thing of getting people saved and on their way to heaven. And let me tell you, first of all, hey, one of the mistakes that we make, if you want to be a failure at being a fisherman, don't go looking for souls. Make them come looking for you. Do you know it says in John 4:4, speaking of Jesus, it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." I won't go into the entire story, but this is a spot where Jesus knew he had to go to a certain city. Why? Jesus knew there were some fish in this city called Samaria that needed to be caught. He knew that there was a person specifically that needed the gospel there. And Jesus said, "I am going where that fish is. I'm going to go through Samaria because I know there's somebody somebody there that needs me. We get the great story of the woman at the well as a result of Jesus going through this place called Samaria. Folks, can I tell you, there are all sorts of churches that are waiting at home for the lost to come to them. And I realize some people that don't know Jesus may stumble into the church and they may come to the church. But folks, I have to tell you something. We've got to go where the fish are. And primarily the people in this room are born again and they're saved. There are a few here today that do not know Jesus, and we're going to help you with that, and we'll take care of that here in a few minutes. But may I say that the church house is not full of lost people, but the world is. You say, what's that mean? You and I must take this story of Jesus Christ and take it out to them. We've got to go out and seek the lost. We've got to go out to where they are. Boy, I'll tell you, when I was trying to catch that last fish, I had my grandson's fishing pole, and we had fished in that one little spot right there at the clear part of the bank, and I realized something. I'm not catching any fish here, so I started heading up the bank. I mean, I was going over trees and under logs and back in where there were stickers and briars, and you know something? I went way back in there where nobody was fishing, and there was no beaten path, and I caught a fish because I went to where the fish were. And folks, you'll never catch fish unless you get your pole out and go fishing and go where the fish are. We as individuals should not wait for them to come to us. Let's go to them. There's a thing called confrontational evangelism. And some people think that that means that you're supposed to be a jerk while you're out soul winning. You're supposed to, you know, be confrontational with people. That's not what confrontational evangelism is at all. It means that you and I have the courage, the confidence, and the good sense to confront somebody about their eternal destination and be willing to say to them, there's a place called heaven and hell, and I care enough about you to tell you I want you to go to heaven someday. That's confronting them about the condition of their soul. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, Jesus, did you know Jesus came to earth? You say, why? This is where the fish were at. He came down here to save us. Our bus ministry goes to where the fish are at. And that's what you and I need to do. We've got to get out there to where the fish are. Look, if all you do is come to church, You may never win a soul to Christ by just coming to church, because primarily you have saved fish here at the church already. That's why we go out soul winning. Secondly, I don't want to see you fail at this thing of reaching people. So may I say, if you have the attitude that other people getting saved is none of your business, then you're probably not going to get anybody saved. Yes. See, if you have the attitude that other people getting saved is none of your business, you're almost for certain going to fail. Mark 6:16-15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice it told us to go out. And once we go out, we're to go to every creature. You see, soul winning is our duty. Soul winning is commanded by God, telling others about Christ. And here's what some people almost do. And I'll give us the benefit of the doubt. We're almost too polite to the point where we say, my talking to them about this issue, it's too abrasive, so I better not do it because I want to be a kind person. But wait a minute. If they die and go to hell, they're going to wish you would have talked to them about that abrasive issue for just a moment. And I really think there are some people that are very kind. They're very polite. They're almost afraid to approach somebody about this great big issue of, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? You say, I don't want to be offensive, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, and I don't want to get in their space, and I don't want to get in their territory. And so that's really none of my business. The only thing is, folks, God told us it was our business. And so you and I, we can be so polite, we leave God out of the equation. And God said, go tell them. Go tell them. And I'm not telling you to be rude, but I'm telling you to have the confidence and the obedience to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Believe and be aggressive enough in your soul winning. It's not inappropriate to talk to someone about Jesus. Soul winning is everybody's business. You know, you say, I don't want to put my nose in their business because I'm afraid I'll offend them. Listen, they're going to be more offended if they die and go to hell and you had the answer and you did not take a moment and take a chance to tell them. I'll promise you that. But we want to be careful that we don't develop an attitude that it's none of our business, because God made it our business. And so, if I want to fail at catching fish, if I don't go where the fish are, I'm going to fail. If I don't go out after them. Secondly, if I develop an attitude that it's none of my business, I'm probably going to fail. Hey, you'll fail if you tell yourself, I can't make a difference. Oh, you know, what will be, will be. I'll not make a difference. I can't change anything. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." There the Bible says freely. Now, we know that these lost people, they have a choice. But can I tell you something? You can influence someone's choice. God wants you and I to make a difference. And there are some of you, I think you're very humble. I think you're very meek. And you look at it and say, "Preacher, how could I ever make a difference?" Listen, it is not you that primarily makes a difference anyway. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes a difference. You are merely the delivery boy. And it is your responsibility and, might I say, your privilege to tell someone out about Jesus. And you say, "But preacher, how could I make a difference? Am I going to make a splash in this big pond?" Let me tell you all something. We're all going to have to be very careful as our world gets more and more wicked. And people are less and less interested in the old time religion. If we're not careful, we're liable to throw in the towel and say, "What kind of difference are we going to make? How can our church make a difference in America? How can our church make a difference in the way our country's going downhill?" And if we're not careful, we'll all just throw in the towel and say, "Well, what's the use? What's the use of climbing uphill? And what's the use of going on when it seems like we'll make such a little difference?" But let me tell you something, folks. If you make a difference to one, it's a real big difference to that one. And you can make a difference. God wants you to make a difference. Soul winners make a difference. It's an earthly difference. And it is an eternal difference. You can make a difference in somebody's life. And I'll tell you this also. When you get concerned about other people and you start talking to them about the Lord and you're trying to win them to Christ, it is going to make a difference in you. It will make a difference in you. You could change someone's future by being aggressive about telling them about Christ. And it may change your future as well. Did you know if you get someone saved? Now, obviously, this does not all just miraculously take place. Getting saved is the miraculous intervention of God. But after they get saved, they'll get God in their life. If they started coming to church and learning the Bible, your winning them to Christ could result in the salvaging of their marriage. The salvaging of their family. The salvaging of their life. In the Bible, there were stories about one person getting saved and it turned entire cities upside down for Christ. And I don't think the soul winner went out and said, "You know what? I'm going to go catch the fish that will revolutionize our entire community." No, the soul winner just went out and said, "I'm going to go catch a fish." And somehow God took that one soul that was won by that one person that probably didn't have any idea it was going to make such a miraculous difference. They won that one and a revival came from it. And many people were influenced. Let me tell you something. You can make a difference. You see, if you don't go looking for fish, you're not going to catch any. And if you have the attitude that that is none of my business, you know, that that's private between them and God, God made it our business. If you're not careful, you'll say, "I can't make a difference. What good would my contribution do?" It would do good. Then, if you're not careful, this is something else that will hurt you when you're trying to reach people. If you become a bit pharisaical about it and all you do is want to point out lost man's faults. Lost man's faults. There's a scripture in the Bible that's good for us all. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Well, that, you know, that's wonderful. And we're to think on those things. But I'm going to tell you all something. Don't be so mad at the lost world for their sinful ways that you don't care whether they get saved or not. Sure, they're a mess. They don't have Jesus. And some people almost develop an attitude that it's almost a Christians can develop a virtually a hateful attitude toward the lost. And folks, we're supposed to love the lost, not hate them. It's okay for you to hate sin. But don't hate the people that are bound by that sin. If you say, Brother Owens, I just hate the liquor traffic and I hate what booze does, I'm good with that. But God knows, folks, there are people that put a bottle to their mouth last night and they're not saved. And it has them captive and they need Jesus to be born again. And if you're busy being mad at the man and the bottle, we're never going to get some of them saved. There are almost people that say so. If that's how they want to live, let them go to hell. Wait a minute. That was not God's attitude. God said, you go out there and you find that downtrodden man and the lady that put a needle in her arm and puffed her arm full of drugs or drank the liquor or rustled the unholy skirt. And you say, just let them die and go to hell. Jesus said, no, go find them and love them and help them and get them saved. But we can almost develop an attitude. Now, folks, I believe in righteousness and righteous living and doing right and doing good. But if you're not careful, you almost become a Pharisee and you become arrogant toward the lost. We don't want that. You see, we get them saved and then they have a chance to get cleaned up. And that's the goal. Folks, you can't win very many souls to Christ if you're mad at all the sinners. You can't. You'll find this out. The most negative people you find hurt their soul winning potential because of that negative attitude. The more negative you become in attitude, the less a soul winner you will become. That's why some of you are backsliding right now. You see, when I took my grandchildren fishing, there were some things that wasn't going real well. And I had to start teaching them, don't do that. It's almost natural we do it the wrong way. And there's some things about you and I and our reaching people that we could be careful of. You're not going to win any souls if you don't go where the fish are. You got to go get them. You got to make sure you don't have an attitude that their eternal destiny is none of your business. God made it your business. You've got to make sure that you don't get yourself to the point where you say, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. And God wouldn't have left you here on this earth if He did not have a purpose for you. And just so you know, the purpose wasn't for you to go have a large order of French fries after church today. God left you on this earth for a productive reason. There's somebody that you need to reach. You can make a difference. And be careful that you don't get so negative about lost man and his sin and his misbehavior that you won't tell him what could straighten out that misbehavior and help him to cease to be a lost man. Not only that, if you're not careful when you do go out soul winning, if you spend all your time complaining about the fact that you're there and you're not at home, you probably aren't going to do yourself much good either. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look, folks, when you finally do go out soul winning, can I recommend to you that you realize it's a privilege, it's an opportunity, and be there and get something done while you're out there. I realize soul winning takes out of our time. Yes, sir, it does. I realize that while you're out visiting your bus route or you're out soul winning, you could be at home. I realize that, and so does God. Soul winning people are sacrificial people. They do give a little block of time to go tell someone about Jesus. Folks, you won't be very productive if you're out soul winning and all the time you're out there, you wish you were somewhere else. You're not going to convince that lost person that you're really, really interested. When they see that you just I've just got to do this. Hurry up and get saved so I can get out of here. That doesn't sound like the love of Christ constraining us. So be careful. If you do go out soul winning and all you do is complain about being soul winning all the time that you are soul winning, people might read your insincerity. But not only that, you may want to be careful not to have the attitude that you're going to fail. Watch developing the attitude that you're going to fail at this thing of telling others about Christ. Galatians 6:7 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, it's awful easy to develop a lack of faith in this thing of soul winning. We can say, well, I didn't win anybody the last time, so what's the use of going this time? Well, first of all, we do it because it's right to do. You can't, I'm sure I'll say this again in a moment, but you can't make anybody get saved. It's just your job to tell them about Jesus. You say, but preacher, I went 5 Thursday nights in a row and I failed. Oh, no, you didn't. If you went five Thursday nights in a row, you succeeded. You say, but I didn't see anybody saved. You can't make them get saved. It is your job to tell them about Jesus. So you say, I've been going soul winning for years and I've never succeeded. What you mean is nobody has ever prayed with you about their salvation, trusting Christ as Savior. That's might be what you mean. But let me tell you something. God told you just to go tell them about Jesus. And for you to have been successful, you had to have gone out and told someone how to be born again. That is success. It's our job to give the gospel. You can't make somebody get saved. Every time you go, you need to believe that you are going to succeed at giving the gospel. And I'll tell you, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt for you to decide you're going to try real hard to get somebody to pray and get saved. Now, you won't be able to do it exactly the way I did it with my grandchildren. But if you remember, I had one that caught a fish and I said to the other, we're staying till you both get a fish. Now, thank God we got that other fish. I can tell you this. There have been times I've gone out soul winning and I know I really needed to help someone to get saved. And I just said to myself, I'm not going in until somebody gets saved. You say, were you out there for 25 straight hours? Never. Ever. Doesn't take that long. Especially sometimes when God sees your determination. And He sees it's important enough to you that you just want to see somebody get born again. But I will tell you, you won't catch as many fish if you've got that negative attitude and I didn't have anybody saved the last time and I'm failing at this and it doesn't seem to be working. Folks, the gospel is working as well today as it has ever worked. God's hand is not shortened. He still saves people. And on the very night that you went out and you say, I didn't see anybody saved, somebody else did. There's no problem. The bait still works and Jesus is still saving people. And people say, they're all over this nation, folks. I've got to tell you, there is an apathy about church building and apathy about salvations. And they're saying, you can't have revival in this day and age. People aren't getting saved anymore. Nobody's interested in the Bible anymore. Oh, phooey. That's not true. The problem is the Christians aren't going fishing as much as what they used to. And they're not out there trying to get people in and changing lives like they used to. It's not the fish. It's the fishermen. They're leaving their pole at home. They're not taking the bait. They're not spending time with the great fisherman Jesus Christ to have the power of God on their life to make a difference. You can make a difference. You can see someone born again. Every time, if I were you, every time you go out soul winning, why don't you just expect God to save somebody? You say, I'm liable to be let down. It's all right. You can handle it. You're more apt to get something done with that attitude than going out and saying, here we go again. Didn't catch any fish the last time. Not going to catch any fish this time. Oh, hi, sir. Don't suppose you want to get saved, do you? Guy last week didn't. Suppose you're not going to either. Oh, hi, ma'am. I really care about you. Yeah, I'm awake. Now, folks, you want to catch fish. You got to have the right attitude.
Yes, sir.
Tell you something that'll keep you from catching fish. All the time you're out and you're supposed to be fishing, just criticize the church and criticize the pastor and just spend all your time talking negative. You know, the Bible says in James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Folks, whatever you do, I'd recommend that you never use your soul winning time as an evil time for gossip. You will douse the Holy Spirit's fire so quick it's pathetic. You use your soul winning time. You go out on your bus route and while you're with your partner, you do nothing but gripe about what you don't like about the leadership of the bus ministry. You go out and you spend your time with that. Did you know that the church doesn't yoke you up with someone to go out soul winning so you can spend all that time hurting your church? Soul winning is a positive thing, and you won't be real successful at it if you talk negative all the time you're out. You will quench the Holy Spirit. I'll tell all of you something. You need to be careful anytime that you're in a little unit of people separated from everybody else that you don't somehow think it's okay to talk about anything you want to talk about, say anything you want about anybody, and downgrade people. It doesn't matter to me whether it's on your bus route or in soul winning or in a kitchen or off in a nursery. You better be careful, because you will ruin your spirit in soul winning. Hey, if I were you, if you want to fail at catching fish, just spend all your time talking about you instead of Jesus. The Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Who is Diotrephes? Diotrephes was a church troublemaker, and he wanted preeminence. Now, folks, if you go soul winning, you got to understand something. Soul winning is not all about you. It's all about Jesus. Don't spend all your time soul winning telling your soul winning partner how wonderful you are. Don't spend all your time. Soul winning is something that ought to be done with confidence, yet a humility. Yes, amen. The Spirit can't control you if you've decided to control you.
Right.
Tell the lost about Jesus, not about you.
Yes.
Soul winning time is a time for you to talk about Jesus. And if I could recommend something to you. Some of you say, preacher, I'm not seeing people saved. Let me tell you something that will help. When you and your partner go out, do nothing but talk about Jesus and the Bible and heaven and purity and get your spirit right. Hey, nobody gets saved lest the Spirit draw them. And if you are tampering with the Spirit of God while you're supposed to be out soul winning, the Spirit may not draw them in. If the Spirit has fled from you, because of the way you're behaving, the way you're talking, and your attitude, you go to witness, but the Holy Spirit's not there to help draw them because you've quenched with your behavior and your conversation. You're hurting your soul winning. It might be the reason why some of you are not winning souls that could and know how is because you've got such a bad spirit. You've tampered with the Spirit of God, and He is not using you like He could as the tool to draw people in. Soul winning is not a time to talk about yourself. It's not a time to talk about others. Let me say also, if you feel like you're failing at winning people to Christ, some of you are going to have to stop doing your soul winning in an indirect fashion. You say indirect? That's where you never truly get to it. You might say you're soul winning because you said to someone the other day, have a blessed day! God be good to you. And you didn't tell them anything about Jesus. You didn't tell them anything about heaven. You didn't tell them anything about hell. That's not soul winning. That's religious talk. That's good talk. If you want to say, have a blessed day, good. Then why don't you pull your Bible out and say, let me show you how to have a blessed eternity. You never truly pop the $1 million question. You give out tracts, and that's good, and I want you to. A tract can get somebody saved, but it might be good if you're going to give out a tract. Sometimes take the time to show them what the tract says and try to help them to pray the prayer at the end of the tract so they can get saved. If not, it may just be a piece of paper that they tuck in with their marijuana rolling papers. They do it all the time. Some fear rejection so much you never get to the point where you actually ask them if they want to get saved. You fear rejection. So you know, folks, it's not you they're rejecting, it's Jesus.
Yes.
We talk religion, but we never talk salvation, and there's a difference. So you're not going to catch fish until you can get to the point where you actually tell someone there is a heaven, there is a hell, they need to make a choice. That's truly drawing people into Christ. You'll never win people to Christ, you'll never catch fish if you keep the attitude that soul winning is a gift. And God's not giving you the gift. That's nowhere in the Bible, so you know. Wherever that was taught, it's wrong. The Bible says, and He said unto them, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. It says that we are to preach the gospel to every creature in Mark 16:15. Don't you convince yourself that soul winning is not your calling. Soul winning is a calling of all Christians. Folks, it's for us all. New Christians, old Christians. Soul winning is not a gift provided by God. It's fishing, you have to learn how. There's no born fisherman. You learn how to fish. God provides the plan. You provide the character and the obedience. That's how you catch fish. So don't convince yourself that soul winning is a gift. Hey, you ought to believe, and some of you do, be careful. You may believe that soul winning is beneath your dignity. You say, that's for them blue-collar Christians. That's for them lower-life Christians. Let's leave that embarrassing thing of walking up to someone that you don't know and tell them about Jesus. Let's leave that for those underlings. I'm very sorry. We're all underlings. It's for us all to do. You say, well, that would embarrass my education. Then you're too smart. So that would embarrass my social status. Then you need to be knocked down the social ladder just enough to realize we're all to tell others about Christ. You say, if you knew how much money I had, you wouldn't require it of me. God knows how much money you have. He gave it to you and he's liable to take it away from you if it's more important to you than the souls of men. You say, it is my job to administrate the church. I've got news for you. It's all our jobs to tell people about Jesus Christ. You say, I would never go out and knock on a stranger's door to talk to them about Jesus. Is it below you? Because he told us good Christians would do that. That we would go out and tell others. If I were you, I would be careful. If you want to catch fish, there's some ways of doing it. I realize the lost may have bad attitudes. But they're not saved. They don't have Christ. You can't force people to make a decision. And folks, I think one of the things that probably with sincere people, one of the reasons we don't catch fish is because we get too busy or we think we're too busy. But folks, if we're too busy to do the most important thing that a Christian could do, I guess then we are just too busy. Something ought to go. You say, what? Well, why don't you give up an hour of television? Why not go to the restaurant and go soul winning? Give up an hour of your hobby and go soul winning. Get up earlier one day to get the things done that need to be done so you have time to tell someone about Christ. What's more important than keeping somebody out of hell? What's more important than helping someone to go to heaven? I don't think anything. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There are reasons why we don't catch fish. And just like I was teaching my grandson and my granddaughter to fish, there are all sorts of reasons why they couldn't get any fish on that hook. And folks, you and I, the problem's not the fish. The problem wasn't the hook. The problem was the fisherman. Some of you don't know anything about how to win someone to Jesus Christ. We have a training course here at the church. We'll train you how. You come. We'll help you learn it. There's some of you know exactly how, but you're not doing it. You can list your excuses, give them to God. I'm going to tell you, he's going to say, we can work around that excuse right there. Let's get to this. Let's tell others about Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're at the right place. Because our church cares about people going to heaven. We don't just talk about it. We show them how to go to heaven. So they don't have to go to hell. We show them how to be born again. In a moment, we'll give you the opportunity to learn how to be born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we're going to have an altar call in a moment. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. And if you died today, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, leave your seat in a moment, come down the aisle, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be saved. We have people that are trained fishermen. They know exactly how to show you the steps in the Bible so you can be born again and not go to hell. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about joining the church. We're not talking about giving money. We're not talking about that. We're talking about getting born again. So that if you left this place today, you would know you're saved and on your way to heaven. And if you don't know that, you ought to take care of it today. You leave your seat the moment you come forward. Let's take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. You were talking about all this fishing. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I need to be born again. And I realize that. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. If you'll raise your hand, we will indeed pray for you. Good, I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not born again. Good, I see another and another. You say, I'm not saved. This is what you do. Those of you that raised your hand, those of you that should have, but you didn't. When we start this thing called the altar call, you come, walk up to one of the men, say, I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you specifically, verse by verse, step by step, how to trust Christ. So when you leave here today, you're on your way to heaven. Christians who here would say, I'm saved, but I don't know how to show someone to be saved. I don't know how to do it. Preacher, I don't know how, and it kind of bothers me, and I want to learn how, and I'm willing to get in on this. I want to learn to be a fisherman. I want to learn to win people to Jesus. I don't know how, but I'm willing to learn. Pastor, pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Oh, my hand's everywhere. That's me, 40 or 50 hands up. God bless you. You say, I don't know how, but I want to learn how. You may put your hands down. Now, you need to just start coming at these soul winning meetings and come to the soul winning training course. Maybe you need to come down here to the altar today and say, Lord, I'm giving myself. I want to be a soul winner. How many Christians are here today that would say, preacher, I know how, but I've not been doing it like I should. I need to get back to telling others about Jesus. I need to start showing up at some soul winning meetings. I need to start telling people I've let that go on the wayside. I know how to win people to Christ. Hey, answer this question again. When was the last time you won someone to Christ? I'm talking to the ones that know how. Who here would say, preacher, it's been a while. I need to work on this thing. Would you raise your hand and say, I need to work on this? Hands everywhere. God bless you, folks. I love you. God bless you. Super. Father, take the lesson, the sermon, use it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Christian, you may need to come and say, you know what, I've let this go in my life. I need to fix it. You might need to come and say, Lord, I don't even know how to do it, but I'm willing to learn it. You start showing up Thursday night. You show up on these Saturday meetings. You go to the soul winning training course. You grab this flyer about our fall program. You grab one. It tells you when and where the meetings will be. And I don't say it to be rude or to be unkind, but everybody that fills a position where we recruited you into a position of this church, Jeremy, nursery or music or Sunday school, you told us you were going to go soul winning on a regular basis. I didn't make you do that. We offered it. You said, I want to do it. But don't get away from the Lord. Hey, how bad is your attitude? I will promise you, the further you get away from caring about the right things, the worse your attitude will become. If you're not saved, come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved and you don't know how to be a soul winner, why don't you decide that, not just this morning, but you decide, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to spend the rest of my life influencing people so that they can get saved. If you know how to win souls, but you're not doing it, how sad. And maybe you need to decide, I'm just too busy. I've let things stop me. The church is important, but no duty is more important than telling people about Jesus Christ. And if you're so busy swinging a hammer down at the church that you don't have time to get the gospel out, stop swinging the hammer and start getting the gospel out. Because we can let other duties try to take the place in our conscience of telling others about Jesus, but that's not the way the Lord wants it. Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Can I tell you how to make good decisions? Before you make a life-changing decision, before you make a decision that could mess you up, your marriage up, your kids up, go out soul winning and make sure that the Spirit of God is upon you. You'd be amazed that soul winning will give you insight, it'll give you wisdom, it'll calm you, it'll even get the critical nature doused in your life. Keep singing, choir. This will be our last time through the song. Decisions. God bless you, folks. Have a seat if you will.